Hi, this is the Working with Others meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Tonight is May 16th, 2026. We have Bob L. from New Jersey will be speaking this evening. Thank you so much, Bob. The floor is yours.
Thank you. Thanks everyone for being here. I'm Bob. I'm a compulsive eater. So grateful to be with you tonight. I live in New Jersey. I've been abstinent for 22 years and by the grace of my higher power, maintaining 120-pound weight loss. I love OA. I want to start with that. I love service and I love being a sponsor. Quick question, maybe you can just raise your physical hands. Who is looking to develop better skills to be a sponsor, or maybe hasn't been a sponsor before and is afraid to do so? Would you raise your hand? Okay, thank you. Anybody looking for a sponsor? Okay, great. Thank you all for being here. It's great to have you here. I hope you'll get something out of my talk and certainly look forward to questions and sharing afterward. So when I finally came to OA, I'm a very shy person. You wouldn't know that now. OA has really helped me break out of my shell. I'm an introvert and had a hard time speaking in public. And for that reason, it was very difficult for me to walk into the rooms of OA. When I finally did, I was afraid to ask somebody to be my sponsor. I really wasn't sure about whether one, I needed to be in this room. Then I heard the shares and I was like, yeah, I need to be in this room. But I didn't know what to do other than show up at meetings. And I say this because when the newcomer walks into the room, they may be exactly like that, you know? And when I went through the steps, a little bit of fast forward, I went through the steps and my sponsor tells me, you are ready to sponsor, Bob. I'm like, whoa, no way. Too soon. Too soon. What do you mean? I don't know anything. And he said, just remember when you first walk into the room and how you felt. And now that you have a sponsor, how you feel. So that was really important for me to acknowledge that. Because it doesn't matter where you are, you're further than the newcomer who just walked in to the rooms. If you are abstinent and you're able to sponsor, please do. You know, there are a lot of people who don't. And I found it to be such a beautiful gift to my recovery, let alone helping the other person and working with others. But my recovery has blossomed as a result. There were a lot of things that I didn't believe I could do, and service and sponsorship really helped me break through that. You know, a lot of the old beliefs that I had, I was like, I can't do that. I can't do that. And it really was just me trusting my higher power, you know, and believing that I had something to share. Because the first time I came into, you know, worked through the steps, when I came into OA, I didn't really believe I had a purpose in life. The steps changed that for me. And to watch someone have a transformation, wow. And to be part of that, oh my gosh, what a gift. Why wouldn't anyone want to be a part of that? So when I first got a sponsor, it only took me 4 months. And I only got one because of an Angel OA member. I call her my angel because she took me to where there were other men. I was going to a meeting where there were primarily women and there weren't men there. I asked a woman to sponsor me. She said no. I was devastated. Like, what's wrong with me? Right. And she said, no, it's not that. Usually men stick with men, women stick with women. I got it. Even though I do sponsor, you know, women now. But at that time, it was certainly understandable. I'm coming in the late 90s, and women may not be comfortable sponsoring a man. So she took me to, I laugh about it because she said, meet me tomorrow morning. It was a Saturday. Meet me tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. And, there's a meeting there. It's going to be, well, it wasn't a regular meeting. It was an intergroup meeting. So not only did I find a sponsor, but I learned what service was. I was like, wow, I feel a little duped, but I'm good. I'm good. I'm glad you brought me there, And my sponsor was doing service and he encouraged me to do that. And that's what I now encourage my sponsees to do. It's not an ultimatum, but it's almost like, hey, if you're gonna, you want what I have, do what I do, So I do encourage you to do service unless there are reasons why you're unable to do so. So I almost give that a little bit of expectation. You want me to sponsor you? Yeah, you're going to be, you're one, you're going to be a sponsor. And two, when you're ready, and two, you're going to do service. And I think it's okay to do that, So my sponsor was a house sponsor. If anybody knows what that is, it's just a special focus and honest, open-minded and willingness stands what HOW means. But they followed a certain food plan at the time. That's since changed. It was gray sheet, and now that's gone. But it was a way for me. It actually worked for me as far as a food plan. It was a structured food plan, which I needed at the time. And I was like staying away from flour and added sugar, and weighing and measuring with a scale. There's more than that with this program, making daily phone calls, all of that. But I tell you what, the structure of that really helped me because I needed some structure. I needed something in my life. And so I do I don't necessarily encourage people just to weigh and measure or stay away from sugar and flour, but I do when I work with a sponsee. Just like my sponsor worked with me and said, what are your binge foods? He's like, well, I don't know. What are my binge foods? He's like, well, what are your go-to foods? What are the foods that you go to, when you're having issues, either emotionally, physically? What is it? So I started listing them, and then he started saying, you know what? I see a lot of commonalities, a lot of added sugar and a lot and flour, And I was like, okay, I'm willing to stay away from him. I just had a sponsee recently just sent me a text earlier. He's like, so these are my binge foods. I'm working with a new sponsee. So these are my binge foods. What can I eat? It's like, are you taking away everything that I eat? I was like, no, we'll talk. So and one thing that's troubling for me now too is like I have 22 years of experience, strength, and hope to share with somebody. Well, I can certainly overwhelm a newcomer with sharing 22 years worth of experience, strength, and hope. And it's kind of like, take it easy, Bob. And I have to tell myself that is like, just be gentle. Just be gentle. And start slow. So that's what I do. As I started going through the steps, I learned so much about myself. And I've learned different ways to go through the steps. I enjoy them all. I'll show you the 12-step workshop and study guide that came out. It's not brand new, but this is the 12-step workshop and study guide. And sorry, that is blurry, but I call it the green book. And maybe that will come into focus. No, it's not. Anyway, so the reason why, my friends of mine said, hey, other OA members said, hey, we're gonna do it in a group format. I was like, cool, I'll do it with you. And I learned something new. And the reason why I like this way, I love doing it the big book. I've done 12 and 12 with the workbook. I love that way. The reason why I like this book is because it encompasses, OA 12 and 12. It encompasses the Voices of Recovery for Today, Brown Book, and also includes the Alcoholics Anonymous Big Book and the AA 12 and 12. It includes so much literature. And it takes you through the process in 15 weeks. I like that. I really do. Why I like it even more is because it's almost like a train the trainer. I am teaching you how to sponsor. This is an easy way for you to now pick up. And because when my sponsees are go through the steps and it's time for them to sponsor and we talk about it, they're like, well, I don't know how to do it. I was like, well, just do what we did. So it was so easy. And that was one of the biggest hurdles that I have. I was like, I don't know what to do. and how they had these questions that you wrote. And that's how we started and made it very easy. Well, this is good for me too, because, like, okay, this is how we start. This is what we're going to do. And before that even starts, before they even have the books, I start working on with them with their, with their binge foods, or you probably heard of the red, yellow, red light foods, right? So, the green light food, sorry. So your red might be absolutely, I'm addicted to this food and I know it. It's a binge food. I need to stay away from it. Yellow, I'm not so sure. Maybe I stay away from it in the beginning. And then green are the foods that I can eat. My recent sponsee, the only thing he had on, he had one item under the green foods. I was like, well, we need to talk about that. You're not just going to eat one safe green food, right? So, but I realized when I went through that process, I did say, it was like, well, what can I eat? And a lot of the foods I was eating was processed foods. And that was pointed out to me. It was also pointed out to me as I went through the process. It wasn't immediately. It was like I was addicted to caffeine as well as sugar-free gums and candies. And I always had something in my mouth all day long. And my, it was the satiability that I was looking for, the constant either chewing or something in my mouth. And I started realizing, with my sponsor's help, that that needed to change, that I didn't like that so much. So how I use my sponsor and how I ask my sponsees, you can use me, is to be for accountability reasons. You tell me sometimes how you need, what you need help with. So if they're going to a party, say, and they're concerned about it, they're not sure what they're going to eat, I tell them, bring backup foods. I bring my scale and backup foods wherever I go. I try to find out what the foods are before I go, right? I just give those type of, pointers. But it's important sometimes to offer them, do you want a bookend? Meaning, do you want to text me before you walk through the door, and after you find out what food you're going to eat? So that way there's accountability there. You feel like you're being supported. So that's something I suggest to my sponsees, is like, use me when you need me. It may not be they're going to pick up the phone every 5 minutes and call me, but you can text me. I don't have a problem with that. So it's setting those boundaries, but it's also being there and supporting. So there's not a one size fit all fits all with sponsoring. There's just not. So if it's a newcomer, I'm going to work with them a little differently. If it's someone who's coming back from relapse or coming back after a break, I'm going to treat that person differently. They know certain things, but they don't know, other things that I might be able to suggest to them. So what is it that they need? I try to find that out from them as well. A lot of people have issues with higher power. We talk about that in length if that's the case, right? Right. So a lot of people have addiction, the physical craving, and talking about that, is that something that needs to be dealt with? I usually don't drop sponsees. They usually walk away first, to be honest. I'm not a person, I tell my sponsees, just be honest with me and work, do the work. If they're not willing to do those two things, then I might say, sorry, maybe you're going to have to, come back when you're ready, because I want to work, selfishly, I want to work with someone who's serious about this disease and this solution, and I might be denying someone else the opportunity by working with this, quote unquote, working with somebody who's not willing to work it, So that is, does that sound hard, tough? Maybe. But I also am trying to be real. I'm trying to support my own recovery, because sometimes you have to let go of a sponsee because it's not supporting your own recovery, depending on how they're acting and how they're treating it. So I usually, like I said, I usually don't let someone go, but there have been times that has been the case, So I want somebody who's excited to work the steps. I want someone who wants to change and recover. So, I mean, that's something that is a difficult choice sometimes. It really is, on what you do and what proceeds. But an honest talk about them is to say, hey, do you really want me to be your sponsor? Then I need you to work. And I also tell my sponsees, like, you can fire me at any time. And I mean that, and I say it only because, like, you might connect with somebody else. better than you're connecting with me. I am totally fine with you working with that person. I had a female work with me, and we were doing the fourth step, and it came to the sex. You know, we were doing the fifth, the sex conducts and harms, and she said, "I'm uncomfortable sharing that with you." I said, "No problem." And she shared it with someone else, and then she connected with that person so much. She said, "Bob, I'm really sorry. I connected with this person. I'm going to finish the rest of my work in the steps with this person." I was like, "Great! I got no problem with that. That is so awesome." And she was like, "Wow, I so understand." It was like, "No, it's not about me. I'm here as a guide, you know." One thing I do want to say is that when I started working the steps, I was working the steps for my sponsor. Make sure your sponsees aren't doing that. I was like, he was the professor or the teacher, and I was doing my homework. And I wasn't, their buy-in wasn't there. I was just doing it because I wanted to either impress him or do it. And it was like, oh, finally, I was like, who am I doing this for? Am I doing it for me, or am I doing it for my sponsor? And finally, I was like, no, take responsibility, Bob. Take responsibility. And I did. And I was like, things started changing after that. I kind of flipped the switch. It was like, no, I want this. You know, I want this change from my higher power. I had such a profound experience in steps six and seven. So when I get to that with my sponsees, I get really excited about that, because that's when the things really started to change for me. And I accepted my higher powers, you know, the opportunities that were coming by me letting go of those defects, the opportunities that were now available to me, and the positive attitude that I could have toward that. I love seeing that with sponsees. Initially, I was gun shy. I was like, who? I get rid of these defects just like you get rid of the food. You get rid of these defects. Who am I? Right, God? Who am I? And I was like, he's like, it's okay, Bob. You have a clean slate. We're gonna build something brand new. What a great opportunity you have. You have a clean slate. I was like, oh yeah, I didn't think about it that way. And now I do. Some of the easy things that I tell my sponsees is like, that is not my food. What's on somebody else's plate is not my food. Keep my eyes on my own plate. And again, I keep saying it. You know, beautiful cakes and candies or whatever. It was a beautiful creation by somebody. It's not mine. It's not my food. That really helped me when I was, you know, early on in program with my kids, and I had to make foods for them that were absent for me. And I was like, that's not my food. That's their food. It just made it very simple for me. Also, taking my absence very seriously. And if I am going to pick up that I am making a spiritual break. You know, it's taking it to a higher level, and to say that I'm actually choosing food over God. Why would I want to do that? I don't want food to be my God, do I? No, I don't. I want God to be my God. Well, why are you making food your God? Why are you choosing, you know, to eat this food rather than sticking to your food plan that you committed to your sponsor? And that's the other thing. When I make a commitment to my sponsor, it's a commitment, right? So I want to be a man of integrity. So making a commitment is a big deal to me, you know? So I want to honor that commitment. So just ask your sponsees to do the same, you know? When I do a fifth step, and even some of the fourth step, I might share some examples of things that I went through. So that's something that you might want to do with your sponsees, because hey, they're being very vulnerable with you. So be a little vulnerable with them. I mean, I don't take over the whole thing, but I just share some examples that they know they're not alone. My sponsor did that with me the very first time, and I was like, oh, I thought I was the only one. He's like, oh no, we're all the same. So I just really appreciated that. I changed the way that I sponsor. I used to do daily phone calls. I don't do that anymore. I found that I had six, eight sponsees. My sponsor was like, y "That's too many, Bob." You know, and some of the people were on maintenance, so I was like, so I made it now once a week that I either speak with them on the phone or on Zoom, and they text and email me daily. So we have a daily contact. But we only like speak once a week if they're on maintenance. So it's really, we're actually working very well. And that way, for newcomers, I can spend some more time. You say you're not available to sponsor. Well, that is very possible. But Are you open to talk to newcomers when they come into the rooms? Are you open to follow up with phone calls? Are you open to helping them find a sponsor? Those are the things that I would ask you to do if you are full. You know, there are some things that you can do. And that's something that I now do. I make myself available as much as possible to the newcomer, make them feel welcome, help them find a sponsor. That was the biggest hurdle I had. Once I started working the steps, things began to change big time for me. But those first 4 months were a struggle. So if I kept coming back, what if the people don't keep coming back? So that's what I say is that if you can support a newcomer however you can, please do that. Or struggling, someone coming back from relapse. Absolutely. So my time, that's my time. Thank you for letting me share.